Hi, everyone. Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation primarily focuses on March's jobs report, as well as new tariff updates. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Senior Economist America's Brian Rose. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian. So let's get started. Let's begin with the March employment report. How did the data come in, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
Overall, this was a solid result. We had the non-farm payrolls rising 228,000, which was more than expected, but there were downward revisions of 48,000 over the previous 2 months. And there's some special factors that helped to boost the payroll numbers. So we had some returning striking workers, and also weather improved. But again, hard to complain about this kind of number. The unemployment rate did tick higher to 4.2%. That's at the top of the recent range. We haven't been above 4.2% since late 2021, but it's still within the recent range. So, nothing too concerning there. And in terms of wages, average hourly earnings up 0.3 month over month, year over year, is slow to 3.8%. So you are seeing some moderation in the pace of wage growth. But again, 3.8%, nothing really to complain about. And I'll mention here a couple of other related indicators we had this week. We had JOLTS job openings down a bit in February to 7.6 million, compared with the 7.1 million unemployed we had in this morning's data. Still a good balance in the labor market. And we had the weekly jobless claims remaining low. So again, you add this data together, at least as of now, labor market still looks to be in quite good shape.
So I want to move outside of the jobs numbers. What were some other notable data releases from this past week?
So we had the ISM PMIs out, which both manufacturing and non-manufacturing were weak. Manufacturing PMI fell back below 50. And you also see more inflationary pressure in the data. Obviously, lots of comments about the tariffs, especially on the manufacturing side. They're the ones who are paying the tariffs. And I think if you took the survey again today, you'd probably see a lot worse results now that the tariffs have been announced. And we also had the vehicle sales for March, that data out this week, showing a big surge in sales, up 11% month over month. And the anecdote is that people were, this is right at the end of March, people were showing up at the dealer saying, I just want to buy a car today, just taking whatever's on the lot, that because they're trying to beat the tariffs. And, that will give a boost to the GDP tracking estimates for the first quarter, but it could set us up for even a steeper decline in the months ahead because we're having this front loading of the vehicle purchases.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us, Brian. So just on the topic of tariffs, what are your takeaways from this week's announcement from the White House, and what might the economic impact ultimately amount to over time?
Yeah, so we put out a global alert last night, so I'd encourage people to look at that. And of course, overnight, China announced they're going to impose 34% tariffs on all imports from the U.S. And this is something we mentioned in the alert, that we're still in the stage of seeing what the retaliation looks like, and it's possible we'll see our side ratcheting up tariffs further in response to that retaliation. So we're still in the phase of, the tariff situation getting worse. And we just have to see how this plays out in the days ahead. But my view is that if these tariffs stay in place, there will be a recession. I think it's just too big of a shock for the economy to withstand. If you think of it in terms of a tax hike, this is by far the biggest tax hike we've ever seen in peacetime, more than 2% of GDP. It's not reasonable to expect the economy can make it through this, especially when you consider the retaliation measures will be another negative for the economy. I view it as a race against time. If the tariffs can be reduced soon, and that could happen in a variety of ways. We could have negotiations. The tariffs will be challenged in court. There's some question as to whether the law gives the president the authority to make these huge tariffs, and based on emergency powers. There's also a bipartisan effort now in Congress to retake control of tariffs. So the Constitution gives the right to set these tariffs with Congress. So you could see Congress reassert its authority to, change the tariffs. There is ways that the tariffs can come off. So a recession could be avoided if we see the tariffs coming off in a pretty short time frame. But otherwise, I think it's a matter of time. We're waiting for companies to start laying off their workers in response, to this big shock. And once those layoffs start, there's it's hard to know where it's going to end. Also note that we've added a couple of extra Fed rate cuts to our base case. So we're looking for 100 basis points of cuts this year instead of 50. And of course, stagflationary pressure coming from the tariffs will leave the Fed with very difficult decisions to make. But in the end, I think if the labor data starts to weaken, you see companies laying off their workers, the Fed's economic models are going to tell it that there's huge downside risk to the labor market. So even though the tariffs push up inflation further above the Fed's target, I think they'll face a lot of pressure to start cutting rates. So again, it's not the good story. There's no kind of way to sugarcoat this. Unless the tariffs are rescinded soon, I think the economy is headed for trouble.
So I want to turn to next week, Brian. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So we do have some key data releases next week, including the CPI and PPI. And even though, I just said the Fed could cut rates even with inflation higher, I think this data is important because we're expecting relatively small increases this month. And that might help convince the Fed that outside of the tariffs, at least the inflation trends are looking good. We'll also get the NFIB survey of small businesses. Obviously there you're seeing, a lot of these businesses are not going to be happy with the tariff threat. And also we'll get the latest University of Michigan consumer sentiment reading. This has really cratered recently. And we'll also get FOMC minutes from the March meeting, although I'm not sure how relevant that is, at this point. And one other thing to keep a watch on is negotiations over the reconciliation budget. So the Senate and House passed very different versions of this, and they need to pass, the same bill in order to get started on the actual budget itself. This is just the budget outline, and this is a hurdle that has to be cleared before the final negotiations over the bill can start. And You know, we were seeing yesterday reporting that the deal had been reached between the House and Senate leaders, but now this morning, you know, there's other reporting suggesting there's a lot of complaints about, in the House about the Senate's proposal. They're trying to get this thing over the, you know, getting a pass through Congress in the next couple of days. And so we have to watch these developments and, you know, see if they can twist enough arms to get something through both the Senate and the House. You know, this is something that at least something positive that people are looking forward to. You know, maybe there's going to be some additional tax cuts in that reconciliation package. But, you know, there are fears of what happens if Republicans can't agree among themselves and they have difficulty getting anything across the finish line.
Thank you so much for joining us, Brian. We look forward to having you again next month.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.